Okay, praise the Lord. This time, this session that we're going to have around this time every day this week is for the matters of practicing the God-ordained way. Okay, particularly is for how you as a student can enter into and practice God's ordained way on your campuses. Okay, so for some of us that may be a kind of a strange phrase, God-ordained way. Some of you guys may, like somebody shared last time, heard that since you were a babe. But the God-ordained way, in a simple way, is the scriptural way to meet and to serve. Okay, so the Bible does say how a believer, a member of the body of Christ, is to meet and to serve. Okay? And we're not going to get into it, but in four simple words, it is begetting, nourishing, perfecting, and building. Okay, this is the essence of it. And this is not a class merely on the God-ordained way. This is a session on how you guys can participate with the divine history in the middle of human history. That is to be in this ordained way, practically, in your daily life.
Amen.
Okay? This is something that we all need, actually, is to learn how to cooperate with this God that we saw last time has landed in the middle of our being, right? We're learning how to cooperate with this inward operating triune God who wants to flow himself out. So, I'm learning. You're learning. So we're all learning together, right? What a life. Hallelujah. Okay, so there in your binder, let's see, page 49? Okay, page 49, you will see that there is no outline. Don't be worried. We can operate without an outline. Okay, so we are... there are some excerpts, and you can get into them another time in a break or during your group times, if that's how you want to spend that time. But we're just going to share for about 40 minutes, leave you guys a little bit of time, and hopefully we are all getting help here, okay? We're all being trained. But you know what a big part of training is? It's practice. Okay, so in Hebrews, I think it's 5, I believe it's verse 15. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. But Paul says that the Hebrews should have been a little bit more mature than they were. They were still infantile. And he said, you know why? Well, okay, he presents it in a positive way. Some have learned how to discern between good and evil by virtue of practice. Okay? So it says... solid food is for the full-grown, who because of practice have their faculties exercised for discriminating between both good and evil. So everything that we go over in this line of this week, we want to learn and receive how to integrate it into our daily living and practice these things. So in 1 Timothy, the last time we were here, a year ago, we got into the matter of practicing these things. Paul says, practice these things, Timothy. Be in them. Be in them. That your progress may be manifest to all. Okay, so as we are here, we want to be trained. For training to occur, that means it's got to touch something within us. Okay? I'm open to be trained. Lord Jesus, train me. You guys want to be trained? Why don't we all pray that? Lord Jesus, train me. Hallelujah. I think he'll have a way. If we're all open in that kind of way. Okay, so this first session, what we're going to get into is the matter of bearing fruit and having a heart for man. Okay, I really enjoyed this line last semester or last year. We got into the matter of having a heart for man, and I think we touched something, and it was very enjoyable. This time, I would say that the burden really lies in the evening sessions that Brother Ricky opened to us yesterday. That there is this divine history, which is the life germ within the shell of human history. And it's desiring to be lived out, to be written in this age. And there is a dispensational instrument that needs to be produced in a special way for the sake of the Lord's up-to-date move. Okay, so that is the burden for this time. That we would see the course of human history and at the same time see the germ of the divine history within it. But you know what? This is very practical. Okay, as young people, we need practical things. So we're not just presenting lofty, nebulous spiritual concepts. There's a way! Amen. Hallelujah. And this way is called fruit-bearing. Okay, so everybody's heard of the Great Commission, right? Okay, in each of the Gospels, there's a Great Commission. Most people just know the Gospel of Matthew's commission, right? Matthew, I think it's 28:19, right, says, "Go, therefore, baptize all the nations, or disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the
Father, Son,
and the Holy Spirit." Okay, amen. In Mark, actually, the Great Commission is a little different. He says, you know, go, proclaim the gospel to all creation. So you know those cats and dogs, you know the trees? All creation needs the gospel. Okay, in Luke, it's a little bit more obtuse, but you look at the end of chapter 24, and Luke writes, and he says, you know, go and proclaim these things throughout the whole world, to all the nations. Okay, but where's the Great Commission in John? How does the Lord leave the disciples hanging? Anybody know? Yeah. The Great Commission in the book of John is found in John 15. Okay, so let's all turn to John 15 and let's read a few verses. Okay, let's read John 15, 1, 4, 5, and 16. Let's read it all together. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. 4, 5, and then 16. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Okay. So first thing we need to see is that we're branches. Okay. I'm the vine. You are the branches. Okay. And so a number of you have probably tuned me out already, right? Heard that, you know. Okay. Okay. Exercise your spirit. This can be fresh to all of us. Okay. We have been joined to Christ. Okay? He is a vine. He's a great universal vine. But actually, we are components of that vine. So we have been joined to him. Actually, how do you dissect a vine from a branch? You can't do it, actually. You try to remove the branch from the vine and you've got nothing. You know what I mean? The stalk is basically indiscernible from, or the stalk, the trunk is indiscernible from the branches almost. Hallelujah. He's the vine.
Amen.
When we were joined to him in that miraculous verse that Brother Mark shared with us last session, 1 Corinthians 6:17, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. We became one organism with the triune God through our being united with him. Okay, it wasn't like you just, you know, became a Christian and now you carry another, you know, ID in your wallet. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Or, you know, yeah, my mom and dad, they're in the church life. You know, so I'm in the church life, you know. No, when we got joined to Christ through redemption and regeneration, we became a part of him.
Amen.
So we're a part of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, so this is a marvelous fact. And in verse 16, I want to bore into this a little bit with you guys and give you 6 points. And these are tasty points. So I hope you enjoy these with me, okay? So actually, let's read it one more time, and then we'll go over it a little bit more. It says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." Okay. So the first point I want to point out is that, you know what? You did not choose him. He chose you. You guys know that song? Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Okay, pause. Well, I was thinking about that last night. I was like, oh no, that's wrong. That's all wrong. Okay. Hallelujah, he has found me. Okay, we're the lost coin. We're the dumb sheep in Luke 15. We didn't find him. He found us. In fact, not only did he find us, he chose us. So if you look in Ephesians, before the foundation of the world, I don't know how I existed and in what form at that time, but he chose me. Out of all of the apples of humanity, he liked you. And he chose you. He marked you out. He said, Ben is mine. He chose you to be holy. He chose you to be a component of who he is. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So hallelujah, he has found us.
Amen.
Whom we... Actually, I actually wrote some stanzas to it last night in my head. I should have gotten up and written them down, because otherwise they just disappear. But I don't think I would have been brave enough to sing it with you guys anyways. So. Hallelujah. If it comes back, I'll give it to you if you ask me. Okay. So the first point is he chose us. Okay. Second point is that I set you. Okay, you know what this setting is, Matt? You know what this setting is? All right. I need a... I forgot your name, brother. Jerry? Chewy. Can you stand up? Okay. Chewy is my vine here. Okay, so in Romans 11, he doesn't use a vine; he uses an olive tree. The Apostle Paul uses an olive tree as an illustration. Yeah, you can put that down. Olive trees don't have books. Okay, so this is an olive tree, and he had some branches. This is a cultivated olive tree. I'm sorry. Okay, but so you know what the natural branches are in this olive tree? The Jews, the God's chosen people, okay? But they weren't bearing so much fruit. So God broke off certain branches. And you, at a certain point in time, as a wild olive branch, were set. You were set into God as the vine. You didn't choose him. You weren't a vine or a branch looking for some place and you found that tree to stick yourself in. He chose you and he set you in himself. Okay, so you guys probably have heard a lot about grafting and you probably know more than I do. But the process of grafting is rather particular, okay? So when you have a stock tree, a lot of times it has certain characteristics such as strong roots, ability to repel certain insects and so forth. And so they choose a stock tree. A lot of times also it's short trees, which is obviously more beneficial for the sake of picking the fruit. Okay, so they choose a stock tree, and they make this incision in it, like a V. They cut. Okay, when Christ died on the cross, you know what happened? A cut got made in him. A V got cut in his side, right? And Chewy got set in there. He got cut off of his old man, his former manner of life, and he got set in God himself.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God set us.
Amen.
We've been set in him.
Amen.
Okay. So now, that with that union, actually, there's something called, I should study this more, I apologize, but there's something called a cambria, I believe, which is this, it's basically like the veins that celery have, is my understanding, that lines the inside of a branch, and it has to align with that of the tree. And it's the union or aligning of those cambria, which makes you think of, right, spirit, being made one with the divine spirit, in which we're joined, that if that takes, that is called the scion, the branch that comes out, is good to go. Okay, actually, you know what's beautiful is that it's actually a symbiotic relationship, in as much as the tree, the trunk, the stalk has a certain valuable characteristics, such as its roots and so forth, but also the branch has something to it. Typically, it yields a particular kind of fruit. And so, this is beautiful. You know why? Because God has a need. Okay, God certainly has a root of fatness that is a supply and nourishment to us. But actually, you know what? You render certain value to God because you have a capacity for expression that he needs. So when you get joined into him, when you get set into him, that enables him to be expressed.
Amen.
So Chewy got set into God. And now there is all of this opportunity for God's expression. Okay, thank you. Okay, so this matter of being set is not a small thing.
Amen.
This is both the initiation of our union with the Lord, but it also is a window into the purpose behind our redemption. Okay. Then it says that you should go forth. Okay, we're back in John 15, 16, right? You did not choose me, point one, but I chose you and I set you, point two, that you should go forth. Okay. So, go forth. If you read your footnote here, it's rather good. Go forth actually means to go to another place. It's the same word in Greek that was used in the chapter previously when the Lord says, I'm going to prepare a place. I'm going to go. It means to actually move to a different place. So as we're talking about fruit bearing, there is this matter that we need to go. Okay, we need to be those who are mobile people. Okay, if we begin to get stirred, touched by the Lord in this time, I'm not referring just to this time, but in this week, we need to pick up a heart to go to man. Okay, so if we have an aspiration to bear fruit, I'll tell you what, it doesn't happen in your house. Okay, although your house is a good place, yes, amen, you need to go. Okay, aren't you glad that the triune God didn't remain in heaven and try to bear fruit by himself? Right? He was a going God. He was a traveling God. He went forth. Go forth. Okay. If you look in Micah 5:2, this is the prophecy in the Old Testament about the Lord's incarnation transpiring in Bethlehem. It says at the end of the verse that his goings forth are from ancient of days. So you know what? God has been going forth. Our God is a going forth God. Hallelujah!
Amen.
So in his incarnation, he was going forth. In his human living, he was going forth. In his death and resurrection, he was going forth. In his ascension, in his pouring out of the Spirit, he was going forth.
Amen.
Guess what? In our preaching of the gospel, he is going forth.
Amen.
In our bearing of fruit, he is going forth.
Amen.
This is the divine history being lived out in human history as he's going forth in us. So you are set for something. You are set that you should go forth. Not that we would remain. Okay, I know what the previous verses say, right? Abide in me and I in you. And you're like, well, that's just remaining, right? Well, that just means I get to chill, right? Okay. Yes and no. Okay. You chill while you're going forth. Okay. What you do is we need to learn that the life within us is not stagnant. It's a flowing and dispensing life. And so we are joining one with that life in its going forth. So if we want to participate in this, and I hope that our spirit is agitated to cooperate with the Lord in his up-to-date move, and we need to realize he's a going forth God. Amen. So we go forth as he's going forth. Okay? And then it says, and bear fruit. So the whole purpose behind a branch, as I alluded to earlier, is that it would bear fruit. Okay, you don't just graft a branch in for the fun of it, right? Well, you know, that oak tree in my front yard doesn't look so cool. I think I'm going to cut off some branches, graft some in over there. And you know, okay, it's not a cosmetic surgery for trees. You know what I mean? Grafting is used for the sake of fruit bearing. Okay, even the fact that the Lord shows the illustration of a vine refers to this desire for bearing fruit. Okay, has anybody... Okay, brothers are kind of pyrotendent. Have pyro tendencies. Anybody like to build fires? Right. Some brothers just carry around matches and lighters just for the fun of it. Okay. You ever use a vine for fuel? No. It's not going to get you very far, right? A vine isn't good for fuel. Okay. Anybody ever build furniture out of a vine? Okay. I'm not sitting on that chair, right? Okay. Vines aren't particularly pretty. I mean, a vineyard is not bad. Yes, that's correct. But a vine itself is not really that lovely. Okay. The only purpose for a vine is to bear fruit. God wants fruit. Okay, and some of us may have this concept. I had it before. Maybe you still have it. I don't know. That this fruit is related to Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. God sent me that I should be adorned with all of these beautiful attributes. Patience, loving kindness, love, all of this. Okay. Yes and no. Okay. The fruit that's referred to here, you have to connect back to John 12:24. The Lord says he fell into the earth and died that he could bear much fruit. Okay, the fruit in John 15 is the fruit from John 12. That is the increase in life. That is the increase in numbers. Okay, so you have been set, and you go forth that you could bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. This is the next point. Your fruit would remain. Okay, in Greek, the word remain, meno, is the same word that is used earlier in verses 4 and 5 where it talks about abiding. Okay, what you are is what you produce. Okay, so this is where... This is one of the yes-nos. Okay. You go forth, but you remain. Okay. You go forth, but you abide. Okay. As we are learning how to bear fruit, how to preach the gospel, how to bear people before the Lord, we need to learn how to remain in him. As we learn how to abide in him by caring for that fellowship of life, what happens is, guess what? You produce people that abide in him. Okay, I used to read that verse, and I used to say, okay, fruit that remains, all right, that means that the people that I bring to the Lord, they don't get lost, right? They don't, you know, go off and, you know, go back to the world. Okay, yes and no, okay. Yes, but I would say even more, you produce fruit that abide in the Lord. So in our care for people, we're not just putting butts in pews, right? We are helping people to learn how to remain in the Lord, how to abide in him. Okay? And then it says that whatever you ask, the Father in my name, he may give you. Okay, whatever you ask. This prayer, you know what this prayer is related to? Fruit bearing. Okay, sometimes this is misused. Whatever you ask in my name, oh great! A blank check, you know? I don't know. You know, I saw a Hyundai Genesis driving down the road yesterday. Bright yellow, spoiler, you know, big rims. You know? No. This asking is related to fruit bearing. You pray, Father, I'm joined to you through the Son. And you know what I'm asking for? Adorn me with fruit. Later on, in one of the sessions that follows, we'll get into the matter of praying with our companions. This asking is a corporate matter. We pray together. Okay? Okay, so I just wanted to, that's just my sharing a little bit. Jeremy's going to follow up. But hallelujah! We want to bear fruits!
Amen.
So we want to remain in the Lord. Okay, can you guys help me with the 6 points? If you get the 6 points, I'm going to be happy. Okay. Chose us. Set us. Go forth. Bear fruit. Fruit will remain. Good. All right. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's really good to see the young people pursuing the Lord.
Amen.
It's really quite a scene here. Young people loving the Lord, enjoying the Lord, exercising their spirit. And then you pay the highest price. Even though you are in the internship, you ask for this 1 week set aside. And even pay $300 to come here to be trained. I have a prayer within me that the Lord would reward you with much Christ.
Amen.
We will be equipped and then trained and in all aspects of our Christian life. We want you to be trained and growing in life. And I want you to be equipped with the truth. But at the same time, we want you to be kept in the God-ordained way. Our practice needs to be healthy. Our practice needs to be up to date. Okay, so Paul show us a wonderful picture of John 15. We see here the actually heading of the recovery version says, the organism of the triune God in the divine dispensing. Our status in the Lord, we are branches in the vine. Is that clear? Okay, we go to this school, that school, we're in a different year, and we're taking classes. But our real status, we are the branches in the vine.
Amen.
But it's good to be here in the vine, right? Abiding in the Lord. There's no struggle here. There's no need of strife. Simply remaining in the vine. You touch the source, right? The source. Source is the vine. And he has everything that we need. Whatever you need is in the vine. So we need to simply remain and then stay, right? Yeah, one of the songs that I really enjoy, right? Abiding in the vine. Abiding in the vine, right? All the riches of God's are mine. Thank God he put us here. Never to leave. All right? All right? Hallelujah, we can be in the vine. Amen. But this picture doesn't stop there, okay? Okay, when we abide in the Lord, right? I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit.
Amen.
Okay, so there's a fruit there. There's a fruit. Okay, so the manifestation of our enjoyment of the Lord is that we have much fruit.
Amen.
Right? Real indicator that we really enjoy the Lord is that we have fruit, and even much fruit, okay? So this is very spontaneous. Life grows, life spreads, and life multiplies, right? Okay. My personal story, I married a little bit older, over 33. And then when I got married, I've been married for 4 years. Saints always ask, is there good news? Is there good news, right? So if you marry in union with love, it is normal to have you have increase, right? So finally, thank God. There's life coming, right? Life increase. And we're expecting October, a little baby girl. But it's normal. It's a normal to bear fruit. If you enjoy life, and then there's a union in love, and then there's something overflow, right? Okay? And I'd like to read you this portion, actually what I enjoy from the Morning Revival the other day. The eternal life within us is real and practical. On the one hand, we can enjoy this eternal life within us. On the other hand, we can pass on this eternal life to others. We can be a channel for eternal life to flow out from us and or through us to others. However, the experience of being a channel for eternal life to flow out to others is a deep matter. Okay, so we might not have a problem to enjoying the life, but we might have a problem to flowing out, right? This cannot be done in a superficial way. If we will be channel for eternal life to flow out to others, we must be deep in the Lord and must know the Lord's heart by being in His heart. So this bearing fruit even deepen your experience of the Lord. We're not here to just enjoy the Lord, but we want to overflow the eternal life that we receive to many people. Okay. Okay. Paul mentioned John 15:16, but I like to mention Romans 15:16. How about we look it up together? Romans 15:16. Look up your Bible. Romans 15:16. Okay, ready? Go. According to this verse, we are priests, laboring priests of the gospel of God, in order that the offering of the Gentiles. Okay, we know the Christ is our real offering, but according to this verse, we're offering people, right? Gentiles. Gentiles mean nations, all kinds of people, right? So we are laboring priests. Priests are not a special group of people with a theological degree. We all are priests. Okay. We all are priests. Now, we're laboring for something, right? For what? Offering the Gentiles. Might be acceptable to God. Okay, so many of us grew up in the church life. In a sense, we're very familiar with the tabernacle. We love, probably know all the items of the tabernacle. We know the arrangement, location. We're familiar with the truth and all this thing. You might feel very comfortable with it. And then you might be satisfied with that. But God might ask you, where is the offering? Where is the offering? Okay. This offering needs to be offered continuously, year after year. Now, offering means actually food. Food. You offer food to satisfy God. You might be happy to be in the church. Hallelujah, we're enjoying. But then God has a problem. And this is our real job description. We need to continuously offer Gentiles to God for God's satisfaction. Even that picture in John 15, bearing fruit for what? For the glory of the husbandman, which is God, God the Father. Fruit for God. Amen. Okay, so now here, it said laboring priest. Okay, this word indicates what? It requires some effort. Okay? So taking care of people, it's not that easy. Okay? It requires your being, your time, and your energy. People are not the machine that we can fix. Sometimes people's problem is unsolvable. It's, you cannot fix, right? And then they're unpredictable. So when you go to people, you find the problem. So our easy tendency is like, I can't handle with people. Just easily stay away from people. But then God has a problem. I need offering. I need fruit for my glory. So we need to be laboring priests. And I really hope that many college students, even were trained in this way, I hope that we would have this mindset. When I go to college, go to campus, I'm not going there to just earn degree or check out all these things on the campus, but I'm there as a laboring priest. Amen. I want to satisfy God. I want to offer up all kinds of people to God. I want to bear fruit, okay? It's laboring, this word. I looked it up in the recovery version. Says it's energizing. Energizing. And I looked it up also dictionary about the energizing. One of the definitions is to supply with the electric current. I really like that word. To supply with the electric current, right? The triune God, flowing triune God is a divine current, right? We're not laboring in ourselves. We're not laboring in our own effort. We're laboring in the Lord. Amen. God empowers us. God supplies us to be in every kind of situation. Give us all fitting life to fit in the people's situation, that we would overflow this life to people. Okay, I hope that we would this type of people, okay, laboring priests. Okay, how about we read one more verse? 2 Corinthians 12:15. This is Paul's example. 2 Corinthians 12:15. Okay, ready, go. Okay, read it one more time. I will most gladly, that's Paul's attitude, spend what he has. Have you ever spent money for people to take care of people? Take them out to eat? When you spend like that, actually you have heart for that person, right? You spend what you have. The Paul spent everything that he had, right? Even gladly, right? Most gladly he spent, right? And the next one is a little bit different. Be utterly spent. It talks about his being. So it's not just what you have, but your energy, your time, your being, your emotion, your affection need to be spent for people. Without that, brothers and sisters, without such a heart, sometimes talking about the way to gain people would not work. We easily to be in the mode, what is the most efficient way, what is the best way, what is the up-to-date way. But without heart, I tell you, nothing will work. But if you have heart for people to endure, supply by the Lord, and you have a way. You have a way. Okay, so I want to mention, but we have a problem. In order to gain people and bring them to the Lord, we need to have our heart filled with the love of God. Our heart need to be filled with the love of God. In ourselves, we don't have love for people. And I can testify. I'm the first one can testify. Our heart is simply not the reflection of the Lord. But God is love. And God loves, right? And I was very, very touched with this message in the Minor Prophet. If you haven't registered for video training, I really encourage you to do that. It's just like a lot of riches coming out of this training. One thing I was very impressed with is God's unchanging love for man. Right? The children of Israel, they're supposed to love God as their unique husband, right? But then what? They turn away from God. That's apostasy, right? They found themselves in apostasy. Turn away from God. That's first step. How many times we turn away from God, right? But not only that, this apostasy become idolatry, right? They start setting up idols. Idols. Idols are the things that we love more than God. Set up idols in their hearts. So apostasy become idolatry. And then this idolatry become holatry. Because you're supposed to love God as your husband. But now you have many husbands. Multiple husbands. So we don't want to talk about this. But in fact, in the Lord's eye, that's our condition. But hallelujah for God's unchanging love. Amen. He remembers us. He waits for us. He turns us. Turn to us first. To love us, right? So we need to touch such Christ. Such a one has a heart for man. Particularly also, unfortunately, today's society, there's an underlying factor in modern materialistic society today, especially in the United States. We have this, instead of sacrificing for people, loving people, we have a sense of entitlement. Okay, right? Interesting? You owe me something. I deserve better service, right? Government owes something. So this is altogether against God's love. The love requires sacrifice. But then our heart is just filled with ourselves and things related to ourselves. So we simply have no room for others. I believe this is many cases like that. It's not convenient to go to people. It's not convenient to care for that person. I have a lot of things to take care of. Okay, saints, we need to be rescued from this present evil age. We need to be filled with the love of God to love other people. And one more thing I really enjoyed from the training is Jonah's story, right? If you think about Jonah, what do you think? Fish, right? That's only half of the story. Do you know that? Right? He was unwilling to go to this city, and eventually he was swallowed up by this fish. Fish, and then he was landed to this city, right? And do you know what happened afterward? He preached the gospel. Do you know what happened? The entire city got saved. Repented and turned to God. Even king saved, right? Turned to God. And even if you read that, is it? God even repented that, oh, why did I want to judge these people? But you know what happened, Jonah? Jonah was angry. People are getting saved. He's angry. These people doesn't deserve God. I'm angry. But then God provided a tree, and then there's shade there. So he was there, and then he felt happy. And the next day, the tree died. He became angry again. And then he said, I want to die. I want to die right now. Okay. Brothers and sisters, you laugh, but this might be our situation. We care for things better than man being saved, right? I was thinking about shade. Maybe it's like today's society. Maybe it's like AC, right? Air conditioning, cool air. So you have to preach the gospel probably today, right? Sometimes we like AC more than people, right? We care for cool air and people. Oh, may that this wouldn't be our motivation to pray here, right? Pray that we would have heart for man.
Amen.
We have so many things like that in our life. So, okay. So I just want to read you one more portion from the ministry that helped me a lot. Okay. This is from All-Inclusive Christ, chapter 5. The most happy person is the most unselfish one. The most selfish people are always the most miserable. They are always crying, have pity on me, treat me a little better. They are just like beggars, begging all the time. The sacrificing one is the happy one. How can we sacrifice? We have no energy to sacrifice, for our life is natural life and selfish life. Only the life of Christ is a life of sacrifice. If you contact this Christ and experience his sacrificing life, he will energize you. He will strengthen you to sacrifice for God and for others. So out of love for man, if you care for people, your caring itself opens up the way. Let me read you this portion as well. It's actually included in your reading portion. By the way, this portion is from this book, Normal Way of Fruit Bearing and Shepherding for the Building of the Church. If you read this book during the summer, then you're going to go to campus really differently. I think it's just open up a lot of, like, okay, I just want to read one portion here. We have tried many ways to gain the increase, but little has worked. There is no way that works if we do not have a care for and interest in man. However, if we do have a care and interest, the care itself would open up a way. Amen. And I can testify, there's one student, he's becoming senior, and he had a meal plan on the campus. He has to burn it anyway. So, you know, he set up Monday night for one brother, new one, right? He took him every Monday. Don't you think that person would appreciate that? Yeah. He testifies that, right? So care itself open up the way to care for people, okay? And also, I have a testimony that I'd like to share with you. We, in our club, we've been taking care of this the student named Lisa from Florida. She's been with us for about 2 years. And, I think last year, in the beginning of the semester, she was trying to come to the College Park. That's where she had education. And we're living around there. And then flight got delayed. Okay, so it was 10:30 p.m. Okay? And then 10:30 become 12. 12 become 1 a.m. Eventually 2 a.m., right? So she wanted to go, right, through public transportation, but it didn't work, so she called me. She called us. So we went there, picked her up from the airport, and brought her back, landed her to our campus, right? And she said thank you, right? But next semester, in the welcome meeting, she all of a sudden stood up and testified for all these incoming people, saying that this group of people know the truth, number one. Number two, loves people. Amen. And she said, I never find the people could give us such a care. They pick me up 2 a.m. in the morning. This is the best promotion. So what did people would think? You know, this care opened up the people, right? And then this year, she's going to Korea to pick up language there. And I was arranging some brothers to pick her up and things like that. And then she wanted to bring her stuff from dorm to somewhere. She wanted to bring this stuff to her relative place. Relative didn't want it. You have too much stuff. And then for 1 year, we cannot have it. That's our society. A relative cannot help it. But they call us. I said, oh, welcome to come. In our basement, we have space. But what happened is her parents from Florida came to campus and then helped out moving and then moved the stuff to our basement, right? Don't you think parents would appreciate us? Trust us, right? Of course, they really appreciate it. And then take us out to eat. And then at the end, her mom looking at my eyes, saying, I'm glad that you're helping out my daughter. I'm glad that you would also help out through your friend to be in the church life in Korea. So care. Care opens up the way. Amen. People respond to our care. Amen. You know, we're talking about tripartite man. We have spirit and we have soul. Most of the problem coming from soul, And also we have body. So we have our entire being. So when we make ourselves available, brothers and sisters, there is a way.
Amen.
We need to have a heart for man.
Amen.
We need a care for man.
Okay?
So I will stop here, and then maybe we'll just open up for more testimony from the students.
How about we just